Hello, everybody, and welcome back to an all-new episode of Artsy Uffafartsy Immigrants. Lots of things to talk about today, lots of things to catch up on this week. I hope everyone is feeling fine and hopefully is not stuck in Munich with this god-awful weather like the rest of us. Why won't it stop raining? It's pounding down on my walls. It's like we're being punished, and I don't understand why. All the memes I see about Germany right now, all the memes I see about Bavaria, it's all about the rain. It's flooding in southern Germany. It's flooding so bad that there was a, I forgot what town it was, but there was like a small Bavarian town where a woman had gone missing. And this is kind of tragic, but it's just crazy. It rained so much that like basements in different houses started to flood, and her body was found like floating in someone's basement. I don't know if it was in her basement. It's a totally different story if it's someone else's basement. But yeah, they found a woman's body like floating in a basement. And there was like some dead bodies. It's crazy. Like, it reminds me, was it last year or the year before? I feel like it was last year when these bridges collapsed and it was just like, it was 2 years ago. Just this massive unrelentless flooding in Germany. It's crazy. I just wish the rain would calm down. It's June, and I feel like I haven't seen one single day of sunshine. Like, I am as pale as the human race can function. Like, I'm as pale as it gets. And if the rain doesn't stop, and the sun never comes out, how am I supposed to get sunburns? How am I supposed to go around and be jealous of people with perfect tans, okay? If I'm pale and everyone else is pale and everyone's got these inside bodies like me, then there's nothing to aspire to, okay? Weather, don't you understand what you're doing to me? Don't you understand what you're putting on the line here? It's not working, all right? It's June. Give us something to focus on. Give us something to work with here, man. Aye, 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 aye. Well, I was taking a look at our statistics recently, and I can see that things shot up quite a bit from our early episodes. I'm trying to see what the most downloaded episode is. I think that, could it really still be the very first episode? That would be pretty crazy. That doesn't even make any sense. I can see. Oh no, I can see what other podcasts, like I can see what other podcasts our listeners listen to. Other listeners of this podcast listen to podcasts like Lanz und Precht. Never heard of that. They listen to Apocalypse and Filter Coffee. They listen to, I see now, that's the translation. Yeah, like Apocalypse and Filter Coffee. They listen to Mord auf X. They listen to Baywatch Berlin. They listen to Mordlust. They listen to Hotel Matze, Alles auf Aktien, Weird Crimes, Handelsblatt Morning, and OMR podcast. I've only ever heard of Mord auf X, but I don't know about these other ones here. Lanz und Precht sounds familiar, but I don't know what that is. A lot of German podcasts here, so you can tell our listener base is a bit more in the German vicinity than I thought, but that's good. So subscribers have grown a lot in the last couple of years. Downloads and streams definitely shot up a lot in the last couple of years, so that's really good. I think the thing is, the podcast isn't really going to grow until I start redoing the video recordings that I have been talking about doing for a very long time. Like, I have the camera. It's looking right at me. I now have a brand new laptop, thanks to, shout out to my friend Ben Hoff for giving me some recommendations and basically kind of pushing me into just doing it already. I got this brand new laptop, got this brand new mic. Everything looks good. It sounds crispy as all hell. Probably going to have to get a new audio interface pretty soon because there is the ever so slightest little buzz and static whisper coming through my headphones that thankfully you guys don't hear, but I sure hear it. Maybe I just need some new headphones. But yeah, there's the thing. The machinery is there. I just have to do it. Now I have this USB stick that can go into the computer and that can put the camera into that, and then boom, then it should be fine. But for some reason, for reasons unbeknownst to me, I have still not done that. Oh, lazy. But I am working on it. So give me a step at a time here. There's a lot of things going on. Like I said, a lot of things to catch up on. Your boy just came back from a nice little one night away in Berlin. Interesting event. Interesting reason to go. So for those who don't know, I have been working with an influencer agency for, I guess, about half a year or more. Maybe a little longer, like since last October. So almost, I mean, a while, over 6 months. And we've developed, we have a good relationship. They are really nice people, a lot of young, pretty people working on this team. They're gung-ho, they're engaged, they're locked in. I mean, there's not one person that I've talked to from this team where I've been like, you know what, I don't think that's your best colleague. Like, everyone I've talked to is like, they're just legit, you know, they're just on it. But yeah, I've had a lot of fun, this last weekend, but of course, it's always like that when you slip away for a day or two, and then like things in your personal life just get so stressful and so like shoved down, and it's really interesting. It's always like that. Like there's stress and drama and people having babies, and then there's like friends getting sick and things, you know, like, I don't know, just feels like kind of everything kind of sort of spirals. Work gets, you know, up to your neck. And it's all because you feel like, well, I just wanted to go to like a nice company event for a day. But basically because of all this crazy flooding, so the trains took a lot longer than they should. Thank God the trains did go. I was really worried that the train back was going to be delayed or get canceled or get anything. I was really kind of unsure about what was going to happen. But thankfully, everything was fine. And I really messed up booking this hotel because I booked early check-in and I ended up not using it, but thankfully they refunded that because I was like, I'm gonna need to be able to come in like before 3. I'm gonna get there, I'm gonna have some time to settle in the city. Didn't have that time. The train took so long. Usually this fast train, this ICE train from this ICE Wiener train from Munich to Berlin, it's pretty fast. Normally it's like 4-ish hours, slightly under maybe. Which is really lightning fast, but because of all the issues with the train systems right now, it was like over 6 hours. It was like 6.5 hours. So I'm getting up at like 7-something, taking an 8:20-something train, and just being on a train until a little after 3 p.m. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just a whole day. And I could not stop sleeping. I was so embarrassed on the way there because there was these guys next to me and I woke myself up with a snore. And thankfully they were kind of cool. Like they moved to a different table. Like they realized at some point that there was a different table that was just like a two-seater and they could sit across from each other and play their, they wanted to play. I realized there were these two adult men drinking beer playing, what do you call it? Like four in a row. Is that what it's called? Is it like pick four or four in a line or four in a row? You have like this blue shelf, sort of like plastic shelf, and you drop like these red coins, and someone has like yellow coins, and you have to do like four in a row or something to win the round. Anyway, they're sitting there playing like this kid's game, drinking beers, and I thought that was kind of funny. But at first, they came and they sat. I was at like a little, like a four-seater table, And thankfully, the train there wasn't too crowded. And they at first, they sat right next to me, and then they moved over. But when they were sitting right next to me, I was just falling in and out of this deep, black, heavy sleep, which is kind of a gift and a curse. Like, I would love to sit on a train and work on a laptop. And ever so slightly on the train back, I did. But I just cannot escape this deep, heavy urge to sleep. I cannot keep my eyelids open. It's like I'm being drugged, honestly. It's something I've always had, riding in a car. An exciting road trip. Cannot keep my eyes open. I mean, maybe in a train situation, if I was at that foretop with, you know, like three really fun, close friends, and we had like a bunch of liquor, and we were doing like Mario Kart and games like those guys were doing, then, you know, having conversation, you know, that could probably spice it up enough to keep me awake. But there's something about just being alone on a train. I brought my Switch. I played it for like 20 minutes. You know what I mean? I'm sitting there on this train where I'm zooming through different towns and villages, cannot keep my eyes open. So these guys are sitting at this table with me, and at one point I snored myself awake. And thank God they were cool, because me, these two strangers at my table, and the two guys on the other side of the train who heard me all started laughing together. And I thought, I'm so glad that I'm laughing. This could have been easily very embarrassing. But thank God they're laughing and I'm laughing, and it's okay. It's a little less embarrassing because it's all right, you know? But I was sitting there just mouth open, my head just falling back against this chair. Could not keep my head like from bobbing and bouncing up. Just bobbing and bouncing across this thing. And at some point, I legitimately woke myself up. I went like this. Sorry. I just snored myself awake and then apologized immediately. And they were just like, hey, you know, pretty comfortable, I guess. That was so silly. Oh, man. Yeah. And then they moved to a totally different table. Understandably. But I just kept falling asleep and everyone just kept kind of like glancing over at me. And the same thing kind of happened on the way back, too. I did work a little bit more on the train. And then I was working. But then at some point, I just fell asleep again. And then I got woken up by the lady who came to check my ticket. So I was just, you know, just passed out against the window. And I felt this hand on my shoulder like, Entschuldigung, Entschuldigung. And I woke up as if the train was going underwater, like, you know, and everyone, like, I felt the whole room just kind of like, oh, Jesus Christ, dude, you know. And the worker was like, oh, Entschuldigung, sorry, you know, like, hey, relax, calm down, you know. And I was like, sorry, yeah, my ticket, yeah. It was so ridiculous. But going there, yeah, long ride, slept for nearly the whole thing, just could not keep my face from just falling over. At some point, did sit up a little bit, thought, okay, there's about, you know, a little over an hour until we, you know, dock, and I'm going to go basically straight from this train, now that it took so long, straight to my hotel, like go immediately to my hotel and just change clothes and go right over to the event. Because the event starts at 4:15. I wouldn't get off the train till a little after 3. 20 minutes to the hotel, so I've got about 40 minutes to get ready, which is enough time for sure, especially for a guy. You just kind of shower and throw on the fresh clothes. But I was just so like, I don't know, so kind of stressed out. But I thought, okay, I've got some time still. And I walked down the aisle, which I never do this, but on these long trains, they have a restaurant cart, and it really kind of feels like an old school crime novel to walk through these different compartments and pass by all the people. I mean, it would be really nice and interesting if the people weren't so disgusting. Do you know how many people take off their shoes and socks on a train? It's the same with people on an airplane. Like, what are you doing? Like, I've had to, like, and I was blown away by this one lady on the return train back to Munich. I mean, I understand that the Deutsche Bahn overfills its compartments. Like, they overbook tickets. So let's say the whole train has 200 seats. They will sell 300 tickets. They're just evil, evil capitalist weirdos. And there's not enough trains going. So, you know, they just have to take it. So you oftentimes, me included, thankfully, I was able to reserve a seat in time. But a lot of people have to sit in the hallways, in the floors, in front of the bathrooms, and on the stairs, and like in between seats. And it looks crazy. It looks like some third world country where, like, you know, the transportation only comes once every 6 hours, and people are working in fields and then getting back to their families. It looks crazy. And so I've sat in those floors many, many times, and I'm very aware that people need to pass through. There's bathrooms, there's that restaurant cart I'm talking about, and there's aisles, and sometimes, you know, people need to get up and, like, stretch their legs for whatever reason. I don't know, but, like, I know that I'm in an aisle, right? I've traveled to concerts with guitars, with a merch bag, with an overnight bag, like, with all my shit, and I've had to, like, sit in the aisle, and I still kind of push it all towards myself, make myself as small as possible without being too uncomfortable. And then when someone needs to pass, I just turn or pull my legs in or stand up if they're going to get off the train. I try to be aware because I'm a good person. You know what a lot of people aren't? Good people. And what blew me away was, like, walking through this aisle to get to the restaurant cart, and this woman was, she spread herself out on the floor like she was in a college dormitory bunk bed. She had her jackets and her bags on the floor to make a makeshift mattress and blanket combination. She had her bare feet. She was spread out, toes wiggling, you know, like her foot was crossed over the knee of the other leg. She was spread out on her back, had a small laptop on her chest, was snacking on chips with her head resting on a duffel bag as a pillow, and was just watching TV. And I nearly stepped on her face. Like, who lays down in a hallway? She was 6 inches from the sliding bathroom door. Like, I'm very sure that she just, like, was like, I'm going to take temporary comfort. But by the way, even the first class, triple expensive BS tickets on these trains don't have a place to lay down. So she's like, I'm going to make it so uncomfortable for absolutely everybody so that I can lay down. And in the meantime, risk getting my toes, my fingers, my elbow, and my face stepped on constantly by people who have to come through with crutches. There was a guy coming through that exact same train with a very visible disability. He had a very slow walk, and I just stood. I was walking his way. I was like, oh, there's a guy with a disability. I'll let him pass, no problem. Stepped into a stranger's aisle, out of the way of everyone, held my farts like a respectable adult would do, because I'm a good person. Let this guy pass. You know what he does? He gives me the thank you nod. You know, the little, you can't see it, but just the, you could if I get this damn camera set up. But he gives me the whole little, yeah, like, thank you, young man. That and I was like, and I smiled. I was like, I gave him back the nod of like, of course, dude. Like, hell yeah, good for you walking around. Look at you, you're doing great. And then I zoomed behind him. I went. I got myself a little mini bottle of gin and a single little cold glass of tonic and an empty glass. And you know what? The bartender recognized me. And it was a very pleasant conversation with a fan. And that was so cool and refreshing. I was going back to my seat, floating on cloud nine. Oh, I've been recognized. I've got myself a nice little treat. We're going into town now. Going to go to this event. I'm going to have a soft drink, like midday drink here to take off any edge. Because I hate going to events where I don't know anybody, especially when I'm going alone. And on the way back, I see this disabled man. And he's about to enter the cabin again. And you know what? He stops first, gives me the go-ahead. And he gives me the whole, like, you know, what goes around comes around, Mr. Karma. And gives me the little thing of, and a smile to boot. A little thing of like, I assure you, I would insist that you go first. You know, and it was a little thing back to him. I was like, thank you, man. And so I go first this time. And then he goes behind me, you know, to go through at the pace that he has to go through. And then there is this bitch laying spread out on the floor, and part of me is like, what did you do when this guy came through? Did you give him any recognition or acknowledgement? Did you move out of the way at all? I understand that the trains are overbooked, and I've been in your position before many, 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 many times, more times than I've had a seat, but I don't spread out on the ground as if my daddy owns this train and this is where I sleep when he's driving between towns. Like, that's so lame. I remember I saw her and I couldn't help but audibly laugh. And I just kind of, I had an AirPod in, I think, but I just remember saying it kind of at this volume, like, that's crazy. You know, like just to anybody who would hear it, because I just could not believe someone would lay down in the aisle 6 inches from the bathroom door, which is like, how do you want to get wrapped up in that smell? Do you want to get a taste of death at its closest? Be next to a public train's shared toilet. I mean, nothing in there ain't greasy. Everything stinks like last year's Leberwurst tossed out and having a bunch of cats eat it and vomit it back up. It's raunchy. It's a raunchy, toasted shit fire, and it's a terrible place to lay down. But you know what? I hope you had a nice, cozy ride, Veronica. I hope you had a chilled out time. I was going to say Marlena, then I realized that's my friend's daughter's name. It's too easy to think of a German name and then think of someone you know. It's such a shame. I hope you had a nice, relaxing time, Anna Maria. I hope you had a cozy time, Emma, Emily, Hannah, you know, Sarah. Idiot. Anyway, so that train was fun. I snored myself awake and almost stepped on basically a hobo. But I had myself a nice little drink at the very last hour, which perked me up a lot. And then when the train finally landed, I hopped onto a little scoot scoot. I love me some scoot scoots. I love these e-scooters. Man, do I love them. It's almost worth buying my own because I use them a lot. And they're super convenient. And they're sometimes faster than cyclists. So, you know, depends what cyclist you get stuck behind. But I just, you know, I took it. I cruised, you know, 18 minutes, whatever, to my hotel. It was a sunny day. I put on some music. I got in the mood. And it was just jiving and grooving. Got to my hotel, which was just like cheap, donkey little, you know, I got made fun of at this event by three or four people when I told them which hotel I booked. That's how cheap and dodgy this hotel was. But you know what? I wasn't paid to go to this event, people. I took a train at my own cost. I took a return train at my own cost. And I had to book a place to stay at my own cost. You know what I looked for? Convenience. I found a hotel on the same block as the event location. Now, Jordan, where was this event location? Was it somewhere fancy? Why, yes, it was. Were you worried that when you walked out of this cheap garage door of a hotel that people would see you as you entered into the fancy location? Well, yes, I was. Did you tell people where you were staying? Unfortunately. Did they make fun of you? Yes, they did. But thankfully, I was wearing nice clothes and I was in a good mood. So I just laughed it off and just played my cards because that's what you do. Oh, well, what was the location of the party? It was the Soho House. The Soho House of Berlin. One of like the most fancy places in the world. Ah, you have to pay like thousands of dollars to be a member there. It's so crazy. You know, it's just like, oh, Soho House Tokyo, Soho House Paris, Soho House London, Soho House of New York City, Soho House Berlin. I'm walking out of an Ibis. I'm walking out of an Ibis. To get to the Soho House, my God. I had to do it. I'm not getting paid to stay there. It made sense for me to do it. Okay, so that's what I did. And then strolled on out of that big old dirty dump truck of a hotel room, which was fine. I mean, it was clean. Another mistake besides early check-in was ordering breakfast and then sleeping in long enough to where I could not enjoy it and didn't even have a sip of coffee that day. I raced back to the train. But anyway, I, yeah, left the hotel and went to this event at Soho House. Now, my agency was hosting, it's kind of a corporate thing. They wanted all of their content creators there. And then they had like sponsors and brands there. They had like people from TikTok, people from Penny, like this grocery store, people from, you know, Google, people from other whatever companies, sponsors, brands. They had a special performance. They had a girl singing some German pop songs. They had nice little like food coming out. Like all the food service was really nice. At first I thought they were only serving like just a few cookies. And I thought, could have done with more food before I drank all these free, like spicy gin drinks. Because I'm anxious about meeting new people. Thankfully ran into a previous guest on this here podcast. Long-time listeners might remember Hannah Teslin, this Canadian who has grown her channels significantly in the last couple years. And she's in my peer group, definitely. And she was looking for new management. And I sent her in the direction of Mac. And thankfully, their arrangements worked out. And she has been with them for a little while now, a few months. And it's really cool. I was happy that I could see her. It was the first time we met in person. We had talked over, we had spoken, you know, over Zoom when we did the podcast. So I had knew her a little bit. I knew what she looked like, and I've seen her videos a lot. Of course, we follow each other. But this was the first time we got to meet in person, so I was happy that there was someone there that I kind of knew. So we kind of clung to, she felt the same. We kind of clung to each other there for a little while. She had a friend with her that took a lot of content, like filmed a lot of things, took a lot of photos, all that stuff. And they had like a whole floor. Not a whole floor. Basically, Soho House is this enormous building. I can only really speak for the one in Berlin, but I have a feeling it's similar everywhere. So it's this enormous building, and like every floor is a different sort of purposed, you know, thing. Like on this floor of in this room of this floor, there was a rented party room. So there was a beautiful circular bar with like three or four bartenders making like, you know, there was a limited drink list. There was like five things they made total, and that was it. So there's just like that, you order one of those five things and one of these bartenders just serves you that's free drinks, you know, so that I got my money's worth for the hotel at least. Probably at a regular bar, those drinks that I had would have been like over between 5 and 8 euros probably each. So maybe I did kind of get my hotel room's worth of drinks back. But nice circular bar with this, you know, things. And then the waiters would come around and bring you like, hey, here we have some burrata. Here we have some like ricotta cream with this whatever stuff. Here's some chicken. Here's some pasta. And then there was a DJ booth. But no one really partied inside. The party kind of really took place on the balcony because everybody wanted to smoke. And it was also a little bit cozier to sit. So there was like a balcony spot. And it was like the fifth floor or something. So you could kind of like look out and see over the city. So it was very pretty. And the agency introduced me to people. I met some very nice people from different companies. Like I said, also Hannah was there, which was really cool. And we kind of hung out with each other until the end. Until everyone went home. And it was a really nice event. I was really glad that I got to meet the people that I met. My agency is good people. They're really, I can tell that they are happy to have me. And I think they work really hard for me. And I think that relationship is doing really well. And the event was cool. I like being able to go to Berlin. I kind of wish I had more chances to do it. I like to go there for a limited time, knowing I'm going to come home eventually. I don't think I could ever live there. But the times that I am there, it's always really fun. I've just never had a opportunity there where I didn't have some experience. Like that crazy Berlin Music Video Award show, like that's a story. You know what I mean? Like you never go there and just don't have some sort of story. But yeah, it was a really fun time, and the event was, a little corporate at first. It was kind of weird meeting people, but then everyone just has a few drinks and it all kind of calms down. It was really funny looking at the list of content creators they have. Like, I don't follow, like, everybody that they work with. I don't know. You know, there's only a couple of people that are, like, English language content creators. It's like me and Hannah, I guess, is kind of it. Maybe, like, one or two more. And I don't really know anybody else on there. On their roster, they have like over 30 people, and they're all just like these drop dead gorgeous people, like men and women that are just chiseled, high cheekbone, perfect hairline, abs, you know, like suited up, zipped up, tucked in sort of people with white silky outfits that do fashion and travel and makeup tutorials, and just definitely like very, very much outside of my my wheelhouse and my very much not what rolls up on my For You page, if that makes any sense. Like, just like not inside my world at all. But it was really easy to tell who the comedian was. Like, immediately looking at this giant list of just beautiful people with like exquisitely trimmed beard hair and like eyelashes that curl up into their hair. And then there's just me in a goofy white robe with a like greasy green hat who's like, oh, yuck. It's like all these beautiful brown people. There's very, very super. It was like they do have an extremely diverse group, which is really cool. And I'm really happy. Like, I'm really happy to be part of such a diverse group. I'm just making fun of myself when I look at all these gorgeous people and there's just this chunky white dude in a bathrobe who's like, how you doing, people? Look at me. I'm juggling. You know, it's just, it's funny to be like, oh, I wonder who's the content creator who focuses on comedy. Probably the not so pretty guy then. But yeah, it was really nice. Like, a little intimidating to be around so many like thin people, I guess, but it felt very Los Angeles. That's one of those events that feels very Los Angeles. It's what I imagine Los Angeles parties are like. Nobody's eating. Everyone's sipping on like clear, like vodkas and gins, smoking cigarettes or vaping or whatever. People having like some weed on the balcony, and everyone just, man, the amount of people who turned that entire event into a content creation like extravaganza blew my mind. Like, I don't think I took a photo when I was there. Like, I took one single video of the owner of the agency giving a small speech and was like, yeah, man, nice, cool. But there were people going around with like enormous selfie sticks with like mini LED panels and these like bright, bright lights and just walking around the event with them. And I was like, you're turning this into like a vlog? Your company is hosting an event for you to meet, like, you know, the marketing agent for Lidl or something, and you're turning it into this crazy vlog. It just isn't the kind of thing I would make into content. Like, that's the behind the scenes thing. You know what I mean? Like, if the company wants to film it and say, oh, we loved having our content creators at this event, you know, then awesome. But if the creators to go there and like take a million photos, it almost seems like, okay, but guys, we're here to meet each other, not like, okay, well, whatever. It's a content creator's thing. So what am I complaining about that they wanted to create content? It's stupid of me to say anything about it at all. But it just blew my mind to see like people like casually kind of like, you know, the guard has come down, like the walls are down and everyone's just trying to have a drink and get to know each other. Then you feel this like space alien level bright light on the back of your neck and you kind of like wince. You're like, what the hell? And it's not an 18-wheeler plummeting your direction with these headlights on. It's just a woman in the corner doing like a selfie, and it's like, whoa, okay, well, all right, guys, everyone does their own thing. Again, I'm the comedian, everyone else is doing like makeup, beauty, fashion, travel. So different strokes for different folks. You know, there's different things needed for different genres, and that's just not my genre. So I'm happy in the world that I'm in. I'm happy doing what I'm doing because it's a lot more relaxed to just be the goofy dude who occasionally posts, a video every now and then about doing this stuff. That was really fun. Had a nice trip, met nice people. Then again, yeah, took this long trip back. And yeah, it was a really fun time. I really hope that I can go back soon. And I have to give a big thank you to Mac, definitely, for inviting me out there. Guys, you might not have known it if I wasn't going to say it right now, but there's a big edit that just happened. It's the very next day currently, and a lot of stuff has gone down. You know, I feel like I'm the type of person where I am very bad at, I don't know, growing up and dealing with reality. I am so horrible at facing difficult tasks that every other person does. I don't know if it was the type of upbringing I had as a child. Some could say this lack of, you know, being able to be responsible. Could I put the blame on my ever so obvious ADHD, which is undiagnosed and consistently unmedicated? Some people could say that. Of course, could be a combination. Could it be fear? Could it be the fear of getting older? Could it be the fear of facing things that are so unexciting? And I have this curse of being like, well, you know, there's tax people and there's banking people. And I look at these people who do these things, right? I look at the people who do these things, who live in this world. And part of me steps outside of my body and looks at them and says, like, well, you're just people. You're just people. There is no, like, actual entity. You know, there is no, like, a corporation doesn't exist without, like, meat bags like you and me. You know what I mean? Like, everybody from the smart meat bags to the dumbass meat bags. Like, there is just this huge separation mentally for people to be like, oh, Apple? Oh, Apple? Oh, Tesla? And you're like, yeah. I mean, I understand branding, but, like, you know, it's just dudes who take dumps and look at TikTok on their phone and smoke cigarettes like you and me. Like, that is what everything is that we know. And I know that sounds very stonery. I know that sounds... for some flattering people, that sounds philosophical, and for some cynical people, that sounds very hippie-ish. But there is something in me, I guess probably that happened in college, probably, I don't know. There's something in me that, like, looks at the world and has a very hard time grappling with how the systems work. And I don't have a solution, I don't have an alternative solution. I can't look at the machinery in place and suggest that this or that works, because you know what? Even if I could, the hungry, hungry hippo of humanity's, like, disgusting addiction to money and how money works would overcome and slaughter me, just like, you know, like pigs and cows. I mean, there's just, like, no chance anyway. And there's something so scary about that. This is the next day, and there is a huge issue that I've gone through this entire day. And I don't even think this is an immigrant issue at this point. This is like a me issue, which I guess is what this podcast is perfect for. But there's something about being so absent from, I don't have the strength to grab onto what is actually important. Long story short, I faced some big issues today with my tax office and with my bank account. I have two different, my bank accounts. I have two bank accounts. I have one that I use all the time now, and it's fine. And if there's anywhere you know you will find no lies, it's on this podcast. I have been doing well. I have been making more money than I've made before in my life. And I use a certain bank account for these new jobs. And the problem is, an old bank account that I never looked at, that I didn't pay attention to anymore, was still connected to basically everything. Like, my phone plan was taking money from it, and my health insurance was taking money from it, and it was still sending automatic payments to different accounts that have been discussed about adding money to them for different reasons, for various things. And It was the account that still was stupidly attached to my Amazon account and stupidly attached to my delivery food apps, things like that. And it's me. It's my fault. It's 1,000% only my fault. It's just my fault. I have this account. I stopped using that account because I had a different one. And this different one that I've been using is the one where all my income has been going. And I've been using it to pay my taxes. I've been using this new account to buy this laptop and microphone that I talked about. If that was even this episode anymore, I don't even know anymore. This new account is where everything goes. And the other day, I think it was just like yesterday evening or something, I was like, you know what? I wonder if this old account is still paying out to some automatic things. I should really stop that because I haven't added money to that in a while. And you know what? That old account was so horrifically in the minus. It was so horrifically in the minus, and I have to say, if you're somebody who looks on the brighter side of life, well, the good news is I'm making enough at this point through the agency where I could, within the same 24 hours, I found out the crap this morning, and here it is, late afternoon. I was able to pay off this debt within the same day. So it wasn't like a gargantuan, insurmountable, life-threatening, drown you and bury you under gravel kind of amount of debt. But it's a lot. And it's my fault. It's all my fault. I know what you're going to say. I know the two or three extremely important people in my life who listen to this regularly because it's kind of like a long voice note. It's my fault. Like, hey, it's my fault. And I did it. And I messed it up. And it's not an artsy fartsy immigrant thing. It's a me thing. It's an issue of like, why do I do that? Why do I avoid it? Why do I keep doing that? I don't understand why I keep doing that. It's not the first time where I've had a big mistake in the financial region. I am not. Oh, I just had like a realization. I am not good at handling finances. And I'm not here to say that this is anyone else's fault but mine. But I can tell you that this started with my dad. I can tell you the way I grew up, the way my dad still behaves to this very day, is not a beacon of responsibility financially. It's not a place to look to say, what do I do? It's not a department of my life where I can look and I can say, that's what I should have done. There's a myriad. There's a myriad of other reasons that I, or of other things I could complain about with my dad, but I'm not here to. This isn't that episode. I didn't have the role model. And the thing is, it's still not really his fault. You know what I mean? Of course, for a large amount of things, like kids need something to guide their lives by, and I think there's just this thing that was missing as a kid from that department to save, to prepare, to think ahead, you know? And wouldn't that just be so easy if I could say that that's all his fault? It's not. The thing is, I'm in my 30s, and it's time for me to take responsibility, but I'm so actually sick. Like, I'm not okay. Like, I'm not okay at doing, I'm not good at it. And I'm so not good at it that it's like an illness. I'm so not good at it. I'm so not, I don't know how to phrase that. Like, I'm so terrible at this greater thing of sitting down, managing finances, balancing statements, making different savings. I can say it. I can talk about it all day. I can say, oh, you know, I what I should do is take X amount, plan ahead, put it into this different saving folder that is locked or has doesn't have access to me that accrues interest. I should do this with this amount that goes into our bills and stuff. I can talk about it all day long, but the problem is that I don't do it, and I know that I don't do it, and I hide from it, and I hide from so many things. And I know that this podcast took a big turn from yesterday when I was recording this to today. But I think it only is fair if we're just talking about like someone being honest with themselves. Imagine this podcast is just like, it's a mirror that I'm holding up to myself at this moment. And the, you know, selection of people that choose to listen to this every single week are there with me. But like, I am just so bad at this. And I'm lucky, again, you know, looking at the positive. I'm lucky that right now, where I am in my life, I was able to solve that issue in one day, but that will have a long-lasting effect. The amount that I needed to pull together to, I don't even know if I explained it properly. Old account stopped getting new money. New account gets all the new money. Old account still had a significant amount of automatic payments, health insurance, phone bill, payments to other accounts that I owe for whatever various reasons. So money was coming out and there was nothing going in. And what blows me away is that I was not, again, and I don't want this to sound like I'm looking for anyone else to blame. It's me, baby. It's me. It's my fault. I've got the app on my phone. I just didn't think about it and I just forgot it. And that's so stupid. But I just let it run so long where money just kept coming out. And there was never, I'm surprised that the limit in of the minus didn't get flagged much earlier than it did. But there's nothing worse than getting a call and an email from the bank to be like, hey man, what the fuck is happening? You know what I mean? Excuse the language, but it was kind of a huge shock to the system. And it changed the entire trajectory of the day. I mean, there was also a huge meeting today with the television show people where the most recent version of the pitch went very well. And there's two or three very small and very simple corrections to make before they're going to take it to network. And that would be incredible news, wouldn't it? You know, this project that you've put so much of your blood into and literally my personal life into just needs one more very short, like a 5-hour round of corrections, like literally almost no corrections left before they take it. Shortly here before, at the end of this month is the Munich Film Fest. That's where our production company is going to take it and fish it around and talk about it and hype it up, you know, and try and get it sold. Wouldn't that be sick news to just hype up and hype up and hype up? And it is good news, and this doesn't overshadow that. I'm such a weird headspace right now. But it's crazy to just, I'm just so, I think, like, sometimes, who is this guy? Who is this guy? I mean, I'm here, I'm in my, you know, like, I feel like when I was a kid, and I would look at people in their 30s, I thought that was a full-fledged, balanced adult. But I've still got this disgusting confusion about, or I've got this thing about just like not thinking that some things that are difficult for me, that the difficult things are just not important, that just like, well, you're just people. You're just people. So just, you know, just be a person. But people aren't people, actually. People, it sounds just like such a weird sentence, but like people aren't people. Like your friends are people. This is going to sound very strange, but I hope this makes sense to some people, to some of you, to some people. Like generally speaking, people aren't people. People are what they associate themselves with. And those associations have more power than any individual person. And so when I, who views myself entirely as a single individual, plays a game like neglection, ignorance, naivety, immaturity, and stupidity with things like a financial commodity, a bank, corporation, I don't want you guys to think that like now all of a sudden I just have like nothing to my name, that I can't pay my next bills. I can, and I'm very grateful for that. But this problem, what I'm going through right now in this moment, is far less about the actual money problem. Thank God. Thank God it's not in this moment actually about like, how am I going to survive this financially? It's this greater thing of like, I didn't expect this kind of garbage to keep happening at this age. I'm just hiding. I'm just hiding from these things. I'm hiding from these problems. I'm hiding, and I don't know why. And I don't know how to unhide. And I really think if not anything, if anything, what this means, if there has ever been a clearer sign for me to actively get back into therapy, it's this. This is affecting more than me. This is not okay. This is not, I'm not at the age anymore where this is like, whoopsie daisy, I just didn't know any better. This is like, whether or not I can take these corporations and entities seriously, because of that constantly like running machine in my mind of like, these are just people who have families and everyone's going to die. It's a sickening thing. I wish I didn't have that. I really wish I didn't have that. But if I don't just try and work through that and just try to keep up with my shit, it's gonna crumble under my feet. And yes, I'm doing better than I've ever done. Hopefully it continues to do better. Hopefully in 10 years, I look at this and go, I can't believe that was where I thought I was going to be at my peak or whatever, you know? Like, of course I have dreams and I keep hoping for things and I'm working very, very hard. But I can't work as hard as I am and still run into mistakes like this. It's just going to set me back. It's like taking 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. It's just not okay to do that. I can't be doing this in my 40s. I look at someone like, I mean, I'm sitting here in my room looking at the Tom Segura book, and I think, that guy's 45. Not even 10 full years older than me. You know, he's like between 8 and 9 years older than me. And that guy is not doing that. He's not blasting through things naively only to save himself last minute, you know? And then I think about someone like Bruno Mars, who makes gobs of money, but still is playing the MGM Grand in Las Vegas every night for the foreseeable future to pay off his $50 million $1 million gambling debt in Las Vegas. I don't know if you knew that. Bruno Mars is stuck for the foreseeable future playing the same show 7 nights a week at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas because he has a horrible gambling addiction and owes the MGM Grand $50 million. Now, probably he owes them a little bit less now because he's been there for a while. And I'm grateful that I don't have any sort of like gambling or financial addictions. Like I'm not sitting at the, I'm not scratching lotto tickets or something every day. I've never done it. You know, I'm not like, I'm not going out and taking what, you know, comfortable amount of money that I'm making and like gambling it away. I think that's insane. I'm not perfect, but thankfully I'm not doing that. But I have to say, it doesn't mean that we're not in the same boat of just not handling things right. I like how I found a way to just put me and Bruno Mars in the same room, even though it doesn't make any sense. But for someone like him to be at his status, but then still be stuck in a room naively, like paying off debts, it's like, okay, well, did I think I'd be doing this in my 30s? You know, messing up this bad where it like affects my entire day to a crippling extent? No. No. I'm very grateful that in one day I can pay everything off. Sure. Talk to my agency. Got some campaigns and projects that I've already worked for, paid in advance, that will be reimbursed to them. It was a whole job, man. It was a whole thing. Like, it's crazy. It's so crazy. But I had to talk about it, and even just talking about it, I feel a little bit better. But something's got to change. Something's got to be better. What a world, you know? What a strange thing it is to be a person at all sometimes. I love you guys very much, and I don't want you to worry. I'm not sitting here depressed. I'm actually just so curious how things like this keep happening, and if anything, it means that it's going to be motivation for me to get back into self-care and self-help, which I think is very important. I'm in a weird place. I'm not okay with my dad right now, and for different reasons, which I haven't talked about, and for this sort of thing to happen to be 100% my fault, just kind of like sits in my soul a little bit, like, why couldn't I have been better than him in this situation? Or even worse, like, maybe he wouldn't have gotten there at all, because I'm just, it's a weird topsy-turvy little place that I'm in, but I have a good team here, I have a good support system, and I think it's only a matter of time, given my network, to get back into a comfortable routine with therapy. I think it's the only way. So, again, the more that I say don't worry, the more you probably will, but I really mean it when I say that. I think if I didn't mean it, I wouldn't say it at all. But I love you guys, and thank you for being there, even through extremely personal episodes like this. I always enjoy being on this mic, and you need to know in your hearts that when I am here on this microphone and I am speaking directly from the soul to your car or headphones or speaker, whatever, that it's a good sign, because it's a good, very non-judgmental place for me to be able to talk about all this stuff. But what a weird day it has been, and I am just so happy that things, the structure around me, like the walls around me are thick, and I feel like the building that I am laboring myself into is getting stronger and taller. Just every once in a while you run into an issue and you just don't know how you got there, but at least it was solved in a day, and I'm very grateful for that, and I will be very grateful for that for a long time. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I love you all very, very, very much, and if you know someone who might enjoy the show or might learn or feel something from it, make sure to share and comment and subscribe. You know the drill. Hate to even say it, but it's kind of like you have to at some point. But thank you, and I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I cannot wait to talk to you again. Bye-bye. Look out, baby. The Saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.